Welcome to Focus on the Upstate, a program dedicated to informing you about organizations that serve our community and how you can get involved with them. Here's your host, Chris Evans.
Good morning and welcome to Focus on the Upstate, a pre-recorded production of Entercom Communications. My name is Chris Evans. Today, my guest is Saria Sicosio, the Ambulatory Chief Medical Officer at Prisma Health. Good morning, Saria.
Good morning. Glad to be with you today.
Well, thank you very much for being here. We are in the midst, as we're recording this, we are in the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic, and the powers that be here at Entercom has decided that it's going to be a good idea to use this program, this show, as a way to disseminate information to the listeners regarding the spread of coronavirus and the steps that are being taken to combat it. And so that's what this program is going to be about. In fact, I've taken tentatively to calling this the COVID Chronicles. I don't know if that's going to stick, but that's the working title as of right now. So
well,
good. Thank you. I appreciate that. So, but I'm going to ask the first question that I normally start off with, just so that I can keep it straight in my head, which is, what do you do and who do you do it for? Tell us about Prisma Health and your role there. What do you do and who do you serve?
Yes, I am the Ambulatory Chief Medical Officer at Prisma Health, a nonprofit health system in South Carolina.
Okay.
And I'm responsible for supporting our outpatient practices and focusing on quality and patients and the experience they have in our system.
Gotcha. Now, as I mentioned, while we're recording this, the world, frankly, is in the midst of this, kind of panic. I hate to use that word, but there's definitely a lot of concern about coronavirus and the way it's spreading and the fact that people might be infected by it. And part of that, I gather, and this, I don't know, this is partially my opinion and partially just observations. Part of that has to do with the fact that it's new. This is a previously unknown virus. A year ago, we didn't know about this. And so because we know so little about it relative to other infectious diseases, there seems to be an abundance of caution. Would you say that's right?
That's absolutely correct. In fact, when we were initially referring to COVID-19, the language we used was novel coronavirus,
right,
or new coronavirus. The reason for this is a coronavirus has been a common virus in the past, but this particular strain, and jumping from animal to human transmission to start in Wuhan, China, is where we find ourselves today.
Well, and that's a good point to make and to reiterate, I think, is that coronavirus is really a category of viruses. There's something like, I don't know, two or three dozen different strains of coronavirus. And this is just a new one that is like those.
That is correct. It is. This has changed and it has the potential to mutate.
Okay, mutation. Let's talk about that a little bit. As diseases develop, they, because these things are so small, they go through changes. I mean, this is part of the reason that that I think you see cleaning products say they eliminate 99.9% of infectious pathogens rather than 100%, because there's going to be that small fraction that they don't catch because somehow they've developed an immunity to the whatever you're using to clean with.
That's right. And at this time, our house disinfectants are working against coronavirus or COVID-19. But you are correct. The more the virus replicates, the more likelihood that there's a possibility for a mutation. At this time, we're still learning and reviewing the data, and our epidemiologists are giving us up-to-date information based on what we're experiencing. And for the reason that you mentioned prior, we did not see this a year ago. So we are rapidly learning and taking this information and applying it to treatment that we're giving patients today and how we anticipate and screen and the surveillance that we do for our patients actively day by day. And in fact, hour by hour, sometimes this information changes.
Yeah, and that's part of the reason that we want to do this kind of on an ongoing basis. In fact, you mentioned household cleaning supplies, and it was a topic of conversation, I think, a week or two ago, that people had noticed on the back of their Lysol can, it specifically said that Lysol kills the coronavirus. And again, that's because it kills the ones that we knew about. Presumably, they had to verify that it would kill the new one.
That's right. That's interesting that they've already begun to change their labels as such, but yes, this is another virus, and viruses are typically covered by household disinfectants that are currently in your home.
Let's talk a little bit more generally about the way that diseases spread and the way that pandemics and epidemics develop and relate that to how this all got started. How did we get to where we are today?
Yeah, so I think it's helpful to consider coronavirus as a respiratory virus to be similar to the flu. Similar to the flu in the fact that it is transmitted through respiratory droplets. What that means is when you cough, when you sneeze, and that enters the air and it lands on someone else, that increases their risk for infection. So as you can imagine, especially without social distancing, you have the risk of these respiratory droplets spreading from one person. And because it is so infectious, then it quickly spreads to other individuals. So much like we experience people in our workforce that we work with or in the schools that we're at, when someone coughs, and they get a cold or they get the flu, then it spreads to another and then to another. The challenge we have is this is a novel virus that we do not currently have an active vaccine for.
Right. We don't have a vaccine for it. Unlike, for example, you were comparing it to the flu. We do have, and the influenza, we should also mention, is kind of like coronavirus in the sense that it's a classification. There are multiple strains of influenza. But we have vaccines for a variety of those strains, which is why you see, every fall or winter, a bunch of advertisements saying, make sure you go get your flu shot.
That's right. That's right. And my understanding is we're actively looking at vaccines for COVID-19. However, what we do know is those vaccines need to be tested for patient safety and efficacy, meaning does it actually work? So that is actively happening now.
Are you aware of the testing procedures for that kind of stuff? I mean, this is all, as we've said, very new. If they're developing a new vaccine for a new virus, what sort of criteria does it have to meet before it's released to the public?
Excellent question, and one that we need to be very mindful of. And what I'm reading is that we have been intentional to follow clinical trial process. We do this to make sure, first of all, does it work? But second, are we keeping patients safe? So any vaccine that would be entered into the market in the next year or so would be evaluated and a consistent process is followed. And the FDA, our Food and Drug Administration, ensures that this process is followed to keep people safe.
And we also should point out that here in the United States, we have a specific procedure for that that may differ from the procedures that they have in other countries. It's entirely possible that we'll start hearing news from, for example, Europe, that they have developed a vaccine for it, but they have different testing procedures that ultimately in the testing, you're balancing the effectiveness, you know, the speed with which you get the vaccine to market versus the effectiveness and the safety of the patients that it's going to be administered to. And that's the whole point of this testing process. And different countries come down in, in different ways on how that should all be handled. So it's entirely possible that somebody else would announce a vaccine before we would. But there's a question of, you know, whether it was tested the way that we would test it.
Yes, that is entirely possible. However, what I will say, and to my understanding, we are seeing an incredible global collaboration around testing and therapies and management.
Yeah.
So we're quickly and rapidly learning from one another. This has helped us break down silos in communication and connecting scientists across the country to work together to find the best result.
You know, it's interesting. I'm a bit of a tech junkie, and I'm aware of a computer program that's called Boink, which is basically just a way to network a bunch of various computers together so that they can do supercomputer level calculations on a variety of things that you would analyze with computers, whether it be weather patterns or astrophysics or indeed protein folding. And one of the projects that they have is called Folding at Home. And I understand that a considerable amount of resources from that project have been directed towards learning about COVID-19. And I don't know if you're familiar with that particular project, but I am. And it's a way that people can get involved. If they want to, while their computer is sitting idle, it can be working on tasks to learn new information about COVID-19.
Well, though I am not familiar with that very specific program, it would not surprise me in any way that we are actively thinking outside the box and innovating in ways that a decade ago would have been impossible.
It's just in case people want to look up more information about this. Again, it's called Folding at Home, and the "at" there is the same one that you would use in an email address. It's the little A with a circle around it, folding at home. If you just search that in your favorite search engine, you should be able to find more information about it and even get involved with the project if that's something that you're inclined to do. The Prisma website has been mentioned, prismahealth.com, and that there is a specific site where people can go and get more information about coronavirus. What can people expect to find there?
Yes, actually, it's prismahealth.org.
I'm sorry. Thank you for the correction. Let's make sure that people have the correct website, prismahealth.org.
Yes, prismahealth.org/coronavirus.
Okay.
And at this website, you'll find all types of information for patients to understand, those who can access our virtual website and virtual visits for patients to determine if they should be screened and tested for COVID-19. We have drive-through testing is set up. You'll find information about those times and dates. Anything that you need to know about coronavirus, you should be able to find on our webpage.
Okay. And as we speak, a lot of things by government mandate have been reduced to drive-through operations. This is actually kind of a nifty concept for coronavirus testing, is that you can drive through and get tested or at least get screened in case you have a coronavirus infection. But there are certain qualifications that you have to meet first. Not just anybody can drive up and say, I want a coronavirus test.
Yes, that's an excellent point. And it's important for the audience to know that we want to make sure that individuals who are pulling up to a drive-through testing tent is that they've been screened first. If you go to our prismahealth.org/coronavirus website, there you can click on and receive a free virtual visit by using our COVID-19 discount code. That's COVID-19. If you enter that into the virtual visit, they will assess you for coronavirus symptoms. For example, if you have fever or other respiratory symptoms, such as cough or shortness of breath, at that point, if it is indeed appropriate for you to receive testing, then you will receive an order from a provider, either a nurse practitioner, or a physician assistant, or your physician. This can be handled either through our virtual visits, or if you have a primary care provider or another provider that has written an order because it is indicated for you to be tested, then that is when we want you to come to the drive-through tent. Now, some people wonder, well, who should be tested? And we follow a very specific algorithm recommended from the CDC guidelines and our local South Carolina DHEC. We make sure that we are up to date with what is most appropriate for testing. Of course, we've been challenged with Prisma Health, as everyone else has been across the country, for number of test kits. So we're very specific
sure.
of who should have a test. Asymptomatic people, if you do not have a fever, if you do not have cough, if you do not have a shortness of breath, then we don't recommend you test someone without symptoms. We'll be looking very closely at those who've had COVID-19 exposure or in areas of high exposure or certainly the travel sites that have been recommended previously. Now, we recognize it's across the state, it's across the country now. So our staff have been asking those appropriate questions. So if they recommend testing, you can consider that valid. If they recommend you don't be tested, also recognize that that is through a healthcare professional who's making those decisions based on the most recent guidelines.
And it's my understanding that this has to be all done kind of inside the Prisma Health system. You need to make sure it's not just your general practitioner that can recommend that you be tested and then you get the authorization to go to Prisma and get tested. You've got to be inside the Prisma system to make sure that all of that gets to the right people to make sure you're on the list effectively.
That is actually not correct.
Not correct. Okay. That's changed since I first heard it.
Yes. So we are trying to clear up that miscommunication.
Good, thank you.
What's important is Prisma Health is here for the entire community. Not
sure.
only those patients who've gone through the Prisma Health system, but we are partners with providers across the upstate and within the Midlands, and we want to make sure that at least in the upstate, here's where it gets a little confusing, and we're constantly updating our process. So that's why it's important that people know this is recorded, I guess.
Yes.
is because today in the upstate, we are accepting all patients if they have a provider order for COVID-19 testing.
Okay.
Now, in the Midlands, in Columbia, they are working on their system. At this time, they had only been accepting orders that have already been in the Prisma Health system. Again, I understand that is confusing, and I just want to emphasize things are changing hour by hour and day by day, and we are attempting to provide the most widespread access that is possible.
Well, and again, to keep up to date on that information, go to prismahealth.org/coronavirus to get the latest information.
Correct. That's right.
So that's so we should, I think, say again, that is something that has changed, at least since I heard it earlier this week as we're recording this, that now you've got to have some sort of recommendation from a health professional, but it doesn't have to be somebody in the Prisma Health system. And I didn't necessarily mean to imply any sort of exclusivity, just that there's a certain procedure that you have to go through to make sure that when you show up, you can actually get the test.
That's right. And we're meeting patients where they are as much as possible. We want to make sure everyone has access to health care. That is critical. And that's why it's so important to continue listening to the COVID-19 Chronicles.
Yes, exactly right. Thank you very much. Saria Sicosio is our guest right now, the Ambulatory Chief Medical Officer at Prisma Health here in the Upstate. You mentioned virtual visits, and that's something that's kind of occurred to me. Frankly, a number of cultural changes that may occur here in South Carolina and in the United States in general, because of the measures that we're going through to combat this, people are spending more time with their family because they are not allowed to go to work. In a lot of cases, they're required to work from home. People are being able to talk to their neighbors a little bit more. But there's also things that we're having to look out for. But there's an increased emphasis on cleaning your hands specifically. We hear that all the time. The flu season rolls around, and in addition to get your flu shot, it's make sure you wash your hands frequently. But now people seem to be taking it a little bit more seriously.
Yes, that's right. And it's interesting. In the last couple of weeks, if you have coughed or sneezed in the presence of other individuals, you probably get this look of fright from those who are surrounding you. And so it is so very
important. And
yes, exactly. So social isolation can be challenging. However, social distancing is necessary. Social distancing is at least 6 feet from another human being. And this is because when you cough or sneeze, you can be spreading those respiratory droplets. I am thrilled that we have revisited the value and importance of washing hands. I'm thrilled that we're challenged with finding hand sanitizer and people using soap and water, because this is a sign that people are taking this seriously, Chris.
Yeah.
So I'm glad to hear it. We get back to our basics, just like we've taught our children. When you're washing your hands, it's that at least 20 seconds, sing the happy birthday song twice. Make sure you're using warm water, not hot water, warm water with soap. Or if you don't have that, hand sanitizer can work as well. If you're coughing or sneezing, it's best to cough or sneeze into a tissue, throw that away, and then wash your hands. If you do not have a tissue and you are caught with all that you have is your elbow, cough or sneeze into your elbow, and then make sure that, again, you're washing your hands as well through this process.
Well, and here in the age of YouTube, when I was growing up, YouTube star was not a viable career option. You know, nobody said, I want to be a YouTube star when they asked, what do you want to do when you grow up? But today it is, and we see more and more people, celebrities coming out and talking about positive messages, doing experiments about how effective, you know, washing your hands is. Alton Brown had just released a video about hand washing that he says he's been wanting to do for 20 years, but nobody thought it would be a good idea until now. It's interesting how everybody's kind of jumping on this bandwagon, but it's a good bandwagon to be on.
That's great. Yes, absolutely. I would like hand washing to go viral so that we can minimize
so
the spread of the virus. Absolutely. Hey, Chris, I got something really important I would like to share with the audience today. And I thought about this when we were talking about virtual visits. Here's what's new as of this week. We have been able to stand up virtual visits with your primary care provider as well.
Wow.
Now, what's currently been on our website is for those who are having symptoms of respiratory viruses or other easily treatable diseases or conditions. We have trained up our providers, and we are ready for them to schedule visits with you. If you have a primary care provider, and let's say you need your diabetes managed or your hypertension, we know your blood pressure can go up in times like this as our anxiety levels rise.
Sure.
We want to be able to provide that access to you, and we are thankful that at a federal level and with our state that we now have access, also with our other payers like Blue Cross Blue Shield and others that provide insurance, are making sure that their patients have access to care just the same as if they were coming into the office. As you know, we are trying to minimize the number of people who are showing up at a clinic or a practice site, but we are encouraging them to do telehealth visits with their provider. We have video screens where people can use their phone and talk with their provider. If that's not possible, we have telephones that you can talk with your provider to make sure that your health comes first, and not just for respiratory symptoms, but your total health and wellness.
Well, and this is kind of the point that I wanted to circle back to in talking about virtual visits and telemedicine. Telemedicine has been around, it's a relatively new development, but it's been around for a couple of years now, but it seems like it was still sort of a fringe option, not necessarily what you would call alternative medicine, but certainly not the primary thing that people would think about if they feel sick or if they're hurt or something like that, and they think they need to see a doctor. They're going to go to a doctor's office, they're going to make a traditional appointment. But now with everybody sort of being told to shelter in place and the social distancing, another term that until just a couple months ago didn't exist, it's becoming much more popular to do that. And I wonder if that's going to be a more popular option going forward, even after the COVID crisis has passed.
Yes, and that's what I would suspect. And that's been the conversation in healthcare circles, is we have rapidly evolved with technology and healthcare. And I personally believe that we won't go back to where we were before, but this is a new era for how you can receive healthcare and receive it rapidly through virtual resources. And for patients to be able to reach out and be delivered that care without having to come to the office for every health ailment, this is incredible and rapid pace. We're seeing this change due to COVID-19.
And it seems to be spilling over into other industries in addition to medicine. We were talking about cultural changes that may occur because of all this. Working from home seems to be less stigmatized and becoming more popular. People are realizing really how easy that is in these days of high-speed internet. Online learning, all the schools are closed, the kids are at home, but they've still got to get their schoolwork done. And I gather that they're finding it's easier to do that at home than to go to school every day.
Certainly. And it is amazing how our teachers have pulled together and made this work.
Yes.
In a matter of hours, days, within 24 to 48 hours, they had e-learning up for our children.
Yep.
To continue to receive education. So you're right, across the board, technology is dramatically changing how we practice and live our lives. Thanks to COVID-19.
I've heard good things about
silver lining.
Yep, I've heard good things about school districts across the upstate in terms of exactly what you mentioned, how quickly they were able to get the online learning courses up and running so that students wouldn't miss any of their coursework and be able to finish the school year on time.
Yes, that's right. In fact, my own two children have been doing their schoolwork based on having their computers, their Chromebooks available.
Yeah.
And again, we are thankful as parents that we have guidance so that we don't have teachers or parents doing their own teaching of their children. I'm sure you've seen very similar memes as I've seen on social media.
Sure.
How challenging that is and how much we appreciate our teachers.
Yep. Dr. Saria Sicosio has been my guest today. Doctor, I have only gotten to about half the questions that I had on my list to ask you, but luckily we're going to be doing this again, presumably. So stay tuned for next week's COVID Chronicles, and we'll get to some more topics that come up as this situation develops. COVID-19 is the current concern in America and frankly in the world right now. You can go to prismahealth.org/coronavirus to get up-to-date information for everybody here in the upstate about how things are being handled and specifically how you can get tested by Prisma Health. Doctor, thank you very much for being on the program today.
My pleasure. Be well.
Thank you. You too. I'm Chris Evans, and this has been Focus on the Upstate.
You've been listening to Focus on the Upstate with Chris Evans. If you would like more information on today's topic, email Chris at cevans@intercom.com.